It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. House panel passes articles of impeachment.
Without objection, the committee is adjourned.
And with that, history has been made for the first time in 21 years, and for just the third time in U.S. history, articles of impeachment will move to the House of Representatives.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed to. The resolution is amended as ordered, reported favorably to the House.
This will be the first impeachment we've ever seen that goes this far that is completely political.
Charles Hurt is with the Washington Times.
This is not what the founders intended for impeachment to be used for, and it's not a good way to use it. And I just pray when the whole thing gets switched around that Republicans don't do this to the next Democrat president over ridiculous sham stuff like this.
But the House voted this morning. The full House will take up the articles of impeachment next week. We're told it's going to happen on Wednesday.
For abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, the House will act expeditiously.
Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says President Trump violated the Constitution by pressuring Ukraine to investigate a political foe. In the Senate, where Republicans are in control, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says impeachment is dead.
We all know how it's going to end. There's no chance the president's going to be removed from office.
The trial in the Senate would likely start next month, but Ed Henry at Fox News says President Trump wants a Senate trial to drag out.
They want as long of a Senate trial as they can get because they think this case has fallen apart, and they want to see Democrats, I'm told by people close to the president, they want to see Democrats own this bill, and they want them to wallow in this because they think it's going to boomerang.
President Trump on Twitter today is hammering away at the same points he's made all along, that the impeachment process is simply a political stunt to undermine the 2016 election. Correspondent Weijia Jiang is at the White House.
And Republican strategist believes that they are succeeding in painting this entire process as a partisan stunt, as an attempt by the Democrats to undermine this presidency. And both sources in the campaign and here at the White House confidently tell me they really believe that Mr. Trump is going to become the first impeached president to ever win re-election.
That's Weijia Jiang reporting. Britain backs Boris. That is the other big story at noon.
We will get Brexit done on time by the 31st of January. No ifs, no buts, no maybes.
Correspondent Vicky Barker continues.
The man once dismissed as a grandstanding clown vindicated after waging a single-issue election campaign as a night of vote counting ended, Boris Johnson telling his constituents,
let's get Brexit done. But first, my friends, let's get breakfast done.
Johnson's Conservative Party won over millions of voters from the left-wing Labour Party, reshaping the political landscape here.
It seems there's massive sea change.
I think people have had enough of waiting for Brexit.
Individuals want to get Brexit done.
President Trump quick to applaud his populist allies' victory, promising a big new trade deal once Britain is out of the EU.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. The U.S. and China could reach a trade deal by the end of today. That means a planned tariff on $160 billion worth of Chinese goods scheduled to take effect on Sunday would likely be suspended. A 13-year-old boy has been arrested for the murder of an 18-year-old New York City college student.
This shouldn't have happened. Like, she's a freshman. She was going to go home. Like, next week, finals were going to be over.
You can't imagine what her family's going through.
Friends there of Tessa Majors, police believe the victim was killed during the course of a robbery in a New York City park. A judge in Texas giving the family of a 10-month-old girl more time to find a facility that's willing to keep her on life support. Correspondent Janet Shamlin is following the emotional story from Fort Worth.
Hensley Lewis's mom says she's relieved a judge has extended her 10-month-old's chance at life at least a few more weeks.
She knows me. She interacts with me.
The girl has been a patient at Cook Children's Medical Center in Fort Worth since February. Doctors at the medical center say Tinsley has no chance at recovery or a normal life. Winnie King with the hospital says ongoing medical treatment is causing Tinsley to suffer.
Even the most basic things, changing her diaper, giving her medication, can cause a medical crisis that will result in more pain and more suffering.
Born prematurely, she was diagnosed with Epstein's anomaly, a rare heart defect.
That's Janet Shamlin reporting the death toll from Monday's volcano eruption in New Zealand, now up to 16 after two more victims died Thursday. Authorities say more than two dozen people are hospitalized, another 23 in critical condition. The deadly attack at a kosher market in New Jersey, now being investigated as domestic terrorism. The attorney general gave an update yesterday, 2 days after a police officer and three others were shot and killed.
The evidence points towards acts of hate. I can confirm that we're investigating this matter as potential acts of domestic terrorism.
The state's top cop says the two deceased gunmen hated Jewish people and law enforcement. Kentucky's new governor making good on a campaign promise, saying he believes in redemption. Democrat Steve Beshear signing an order that restores voting rights to more than 140,000 nonviolent offenders. Juan Gomez served time for stealing cigarettes.
I'm a 68-year-old veteran of the Vietnam era, and I could go and fight for my country. When I come back, I couldn't vote because I made a mistake.
Kentucky, one of just two states to impose a lifetime ban on voting for anyone with a felony conviction. Well, so much for Colin Kaepernick's hopes of another job in the NFL. Commissioner Roger Goodell.
It was a unique opportunity, a credible opportunity, and he chose not to take it. I understand that, and we've moved on.
The controversial quarterback who took a knee during the playing of the national anthem staged a last-minute change of venue for a workout. It forced league officials and scouts to travel almost 2 hours. Most of them skipped that. Roger Goodell says he's done with Colin Kaepernick. Still to come this Friday, New York's green light law takes effect next week. Murder, suicide in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. And why most of us wake up in a bad mood.
Good afternoon to all. Well, we've got a less than stellar weekend coming up. We've got rain and snow to tell you about. I'll have forecast details coming up in 10 minutes. Hope to see you then.
Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Friday, December 13th. Recapping our top story today, a House committee voting to send two articles of impeachment to the full House. Correspondent Bill Rakoff on Capitol Hill.
Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler wasted no time in calling for the votes.
The question now is on Article 1 of the resolution, impeaching President Donald J. Trump for abusing his powers.
One of the articles for abuse of power, the other for obstructing Congress. The votes predictably along party lines.
Mr. Nadler?
Aye.
Mr. Nadler votes aye. Mr. Collins?
No.
Mr. Collins votes no.
In a statement, ranking Republican Doug Collins says that by advancing impeachment, Democrats are trying to kneecap democracy and are sacrificing tenets of due process and fairness. The full House is expected to vote on the articles next Wednesday.
That's Bill Rakoff in Washington. Tough stuff in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania today. State police there say the bodies of a mother and her 5-year-old daughter found in a parked car this morning in the town of Bear Creek. Authorities calling it a tragic case of murder-suicide. The woman has been identified as 31-year-old Christina Tyler. Police say her 5-year-old daughter, Olivia, found in the car with her. Both were from Wilkes-Barre. New York's controversial green light law will take effect next week. The measure allows illegal immigrants living in the state to get a driver's license. Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns has been fighting the legislation since day one. He says the measure will only bog down local DMVs.
They should be prepared for longer lines. They should be prepared for anything. We don't know what's going to happen. We heard that many of the migrant groups are going to be targeting Erie County because of my stance.
Kearns says Erie County DMVs won't be ready for the new law.
They will not be ready, and they have not been ready. We have not received proper training. The irony of the whole thing is, from the beginning, they did not want the input from the clerks. The clerks are very, very concerned. We've been saying this for months.
New York State now joins 13 other states in granting driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Syracuse University Chancellor Kent Siverud is rejecting calls to step down over his handling of a rash of racist incidents on campus. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The black student-led movement, hashtag NotAgainSU, has repeatedly called on Siverud and other administrators to resign in the wake of at least 17 hate crimes and bias-related incidents reported at or near SU over the last month. The chancellor says he has taken action to address the issue, including deploying 20 residential community safety officers at dorms around campus. Another 70 are expected to join them next month, and new security cameras have been installed on campus. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Last summer, the New York State Legislature passed a bill to keep minors out of tanning saloons. Now, a new measure would change that age requirement from 18 to 21.
In this state, at 18, you're not an adult anymore if you're going to take away another right for 18-year-olds.
Tamara Gerasi owns a tanning salon in Buffalo. She calls the legislation a scare tactic.
They are scaring us, sun scare, telling us to stay in the house, telling us to put sunscreen on. And unfortunately, the sunscreen that they tell us to put on has carcinogenics in it, which is causing those cancers.
Not true, says licensed dermatologist Dr. Oscar Collegio. He says indoor tanning is what's causing cancer.
The single experience of indoor tanning has been associated with an increased risk of melanoma by 20%.
Collegio chairs the Department of Dermatology at Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo. A new study shows most Americans rarely ever wake up in a good mood. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Over the course of a calendar year, the average U.S. adult will wake up in a bad mood 300 times, meaning they'll only experience 65 good mornings. That equates to about 6 disgruntled AMs every week on average. A great deal of that grumpiness can be traced back to nighttime disruptions, including temperature issues, outside noise, or nightmare. Hatch founder and CEO Ann Crady Weiss says sleeping well on a consistent basis can be a tall task, but good quality sleep is so important for maintaining our health. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Well, what would you do if $30 million magically appeared in your bank account? Ruth Balloon made some plans.
First, I was going to do 10% tithing, and then I was going to donate some money, and then I would have probably invested in real estate.
But Ruth's conscience won out in the end. She reported the mistake to her bank in Dallas. Baltimore wins again. It's sunny time, your two-minute drill.
It's becoming a recurring theme song for the Baltimore Ravens. Because of the Lamar Jackson 5, as in 5 touchdown passes.
Jackson spins, throws, pass caught. Ingram into the end zone for the touchdown.
Lamar Jackson also broke the all-time single-season rushing record for a quarterback.
Lamar keeps. He's got the record.
Ravens double up the Jets 42-21. Lamar on breaking Michael Vick's record.
It's pretty cool. My favorite player growing up, but it's amazing. And I'm going to cherish that forever, and we just got to keep it going.
Baltimore has won 10 in a row to clinch the AFC North at 12-2. New York falls to 1-6 on the road, 5-9 overall. Head coach Adam Gase.
We knew we had to play, you know, this offense a certain way. We knew we were going to have to commit a lot to the run to try to stop that. You know, we struggled early, especially. Just, you know, it's a tough offense to play.
More football news. LSU, the big winner at the College Football Awards. Quarterback Joe Burrow won the Maxwell Award and Davey O'Brien Award. Defensive back Grant Delpit took home the Jim Thorpe Award. Receiver Jamar Chase won the Biletnikoff. Heisman Trophy presentation tomorrow in New York. To the ice.
Second ball scores!
That's the first of Jack Eichel's two scores. He leads the NHL with a 15-game point streak, and the Buffalo Sabres get the win 4-3. Here's Jack.
Great zone entry by us. It starts in our end, and, you know, Vic and Ryan will make a great play. I happen to get some time on that half wall and, you know, just able to sneak him by him, so it's good to see that one go in. I thought it jump-started us a bit, and obviously it got myself, Rhino, and Ole going, and it was great to see Ole get rewarded there at the end of the game with the game winner.
Sabres have won 3 straight. The Islanders knocked off the Panthers 3-1. Overtime win for the Penguins.
Try to find and score! Brian Rust!
Beating the Blue Jackets 1-0. Elsewhere, the Rangers double up San Jose. Toronto falls to Calgary. NBA, Sixers win, so do the Cavaliers. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report. The boys are back. Capital Connection on the way. Plus, balloons over the Big Apple. A local connection there.
I'm Shane Morris with the Colson Center. Today, we want to share a Christmastime breakpoint classic on the enduring legacy of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Here's our old friend, Eric Metaxas, and his commentary on hope, redemption, and the power of story.
Ebenezer. Today on Breakpoint, I'm going to talk about Charles Dickens' great classic work, A Christmas Carol.
174 years ago, a British writer was horrified at the conditions under which children were made to labor in tin mines. He decided to write a pamphlet exposing these conditions. His intended title, An Appeal to the People of England on Behalf of the Poor Man's Child. Thank heavens the writer changed his mind. Instead of a pamphlet, he decided to write a novel making the same points. It's filled with colorful characters, including an old man who goes about snarling, "Bah, humbug." Those two little words instantly reveal what book I'm talking about. A Christmas Carol by the immortal Charles Dickens. The book has never been out of print, and it illustrates why telling a good story is often the best way to communicate our beliefs. Why does A Christmas Carol still resonate today? For the answer, I went to my friend Gina D'Alfonso, editor of Dickens' blog. She told me, A Christmas Carol is a book that has everything. Great sorrow and great joy, corruption and redemption, poverty and pain, hope and love. And it expresses the deep belief that even the worst person can change for the better. A Christmas Carol is not merely a magnificent story, and its message is not confined to a social gospel teaching. Dickens points directly to Christ throughout. For example, Scrooge's nephew Fred suggests that perhaps nothing about Christmas can be apart from the veneration due to its sacred name and origin. And Tiny Tim expresses the hope that when people saw his lameness, it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see. This is, Gina points out, a wonderful example of the biblical idea of God's strength being made perfect in our weakness. Dickens' classic shoots down the idea, prevalent in some Christian circles, that reading novels is a waste of time. They seem to forget that Jesus himself was a master storyteller. For instance, he didn't just say, come to the aid of those who need help. Instead, he told a vivid story about a Samaritan who rescues a wounded man. Chuck Colson once said that when it came to learning moral lessons, he was much more impressed by profound works of fiction than by abstract theological discourses. Scenes from some of the greatest stories ever told, he said, have etched moral truths deeply into my soul. Their characters and lessons are so vivid, I cannot forget them. And that is likely why so many of us will never forget the moral truths told through Ebenezer Scrooge, Fezziwig, Tiny Tim, and all the other memorable characters that populate Dickens' great Victorian tale. It's why we reject pamphlets that say, be nice to the needy, in favor of a good, strong character bellowing, are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Or the ghost of Scrooge's partner, Jacob Marley, howling, mankind was my business. Dickens's Christmas classic is more popular than ever. There's a new film about how he came to write A Christmas Carol called The Man Who Invented Christmas, and a writer named Samantha Silva has just published a novel titled Mr. Dickens and His Carol. I do hope you'll take time out to read or reread the original or read it aloud to your family. Who knows what great good may come of it? And so I end this piece by saying, and you probably knew it was coming, God bless us, everyone. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas.
20 minutes past the hour of the weekend is here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Low pressure that will be moving up the eastern seaboard will bring our area rain over the next 24 hours. The flip to snow will follow. And there is the potential of some heavy wet snow accumulations later tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Here's the call for this afternoon. Cloudy. Rain mixed with some sleet will arrive in Pennsylvania. High temps in the lower 40s. Rain will continue for most tonight and tomorrow will be rather raw. Temperatures mid-30s to mid-40s. Rain turns to wet snow tomorrow afternoon in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. And there is the potential for some heavy wet snow accumulations late tomorrow and tomorrow night, again over western New York, particularly the higher spots. Then on Sunday, it's blustery with flurries, a bit of lake snow, and high temperatures in the 30s.
Thank you, Kevin. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Michael, we'll begin with you this week, the president on the stump in Hershey, talking a lot about impeachment.
impeachment and the politicalization and the weaponization, really, of this issue. Now just the fourth president ever to have articles of impeachment issued against him. How is this being received in the all-important battleground that is Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania is a vitally important state in the 2020 elections, and very big crowds this week in Hershey, Pennsylvania, turning out for the president. What's interesting is the polling in the battleground states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, Ohio, have been impacted by impeachment in a negative direction for the Democrats. And when you look at congressional races, like in Western Pennsylvania, the Connor Lamb race, a Democrat, that seat, that district was won by President Trump in 2016. And that's the kind of thing where congressmen like Connor Lamb, what they do on impeachment is going to make a real difference as to whether they stay in office, I think.
Yeah, and Jason, I'll ask you this question, too, because this is where a lot of people are, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat, whether they support the president or whether they don't. Is this the new normal for how we deal with people we oppose politically? Do you fear that impeachment will become weaponized in this country?
Yeah, it does seem to be. And, you know, and that is the problem. When one party does it, it somehow the other party thinks they get a pass to do it in the future. And so I am concerned as to where this leads and where we're heading. There is this increasing polarization, as you say, and it does not seem to be a place where it's stopping, but the cycle only seems to be moving faster and faster.
All right, we'll see how that impacts the race in 2020. Jason, we'll stay with you in Albany, getting a lot of phone calls from homeschoolers this week, concerned about their rights as parents to educate their children. There was a big hearing last week in Hilton with Assemblyman David DiPietro. He's concerned, in light of what this Albany County judge ruled on vaccines, how concerned are you and how far reaching is this threat?
Well, I think if we're talking about homeschooling, let me address that first. There's no immediate plan to block homeschooling in New York State. So I want to correct that. There's kind of, we're fielding a lot of calls as well. Mm-hmm. People thinking there's legislation out there. There is not. What there is an overall hostility towards homeschooling that comes from the state education department and many legislators in Albany. But specifically regarding that HPV vaccine mandate, we see that as just an egregious grab from parental rights. This is a sexually transmitted disease, and once again, we see that the Democratic majorities in Albany are acting like it will take government to raise your child.
Yeah.
We believe it belongs to mom and dad.
Free speech rights under fire in Pennsylvania, Michael. The college campus, again, the theme, the setting for this. 40 college students at the University of Scranton, a Catholic private school, denied a right to form a club there. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, the students wanted to form a conservative club tied with the national group called Turning Point USA. It's a student group that stands for conservative principles. Hmm. It's crazy to limit free speech and the ability of students to freely associate. And the group Foundation for Individual Rights in Education is fighting on behalf of this fledgling student group that wants to be recognized. They're the Turning Point USA. And it's the kind of work that Alliance Defending Freedom is also working on for students on pro-life groups on campus that are being denied, and Christian groups on campus in other places that are being denied the ability to meet or to express their free speech.
All right, well, let's stay on the college campus for just a minute or so longer. Jason, a story affecting all SUNY schools in New York. I think there are 64 or even more of them. One of the largest public university systems of the country pushing to have abortion pills mandatory at on-campus health clinics. Your reaction to that?
Well, obviously, we're concerned about that. California is the only other state that does mandate this, and Planned Parenthood is pushing this heavily. It essentially becomes a public funding mechanism. It allows Planned Parenthood to get its evil tentacles into the college system rather than asking those students to come to their centers.
Yeah. Governor Wolf, Michael, made a big stink this week about this welfare-to-work reforms that will take effect in April. 1.7 million Pennsylvanians receive SNAP benefits. They used to call them food stamps. It seemed when Clinton was in office, welfare to work was a great thing, but now with Trump in office, not so much. What is your reaction to these new workplace requirements for food stamp recipients?
Well, the fact is that work is a good thing for human beings. God has designed this world in such a way that that people get benefits out of labor. And so people who are able to work but choose not to, that is not helpful to those people. So, you know, in the Clinton administration, when Rick Santorum, Senator Rick Santorum, passed the welfare reform that required some work to go with welfare recipients. That benefited the country, benefited taxpayers, and benefited the poor. Unfortunately, there are those that think these handouts should continue. What's notable to me was a headline in the New York Times online about what President Trump did, and this is how they described it. Trump wants to take from the poor and give to the wealthy.
Yeah.
It's just a skewed view of these kinds of programs and how people can really be helped.
And we should mention there are exemptions. Pregnant women, the disabled, the elderly, those with young children would all be exempt from this. So this is able-bodied working adults would
right.
be impacted by this. So, Jason, a couple big issues in New York. We'll ask you to weigh in on both of these. Nick Langworthy, the state GOP chairman, suing the governor, saying that the people in the 27th Congressional District are lacking representation in Congress. They've been without a congressman since Chris Collins resigned back in September. And the sudden announcement from Joe Robach, influential Republican in the state Senate, not to seek re-election. Your thoughts on those two important stories?
Well, I think that Chairman Langworthy is right. This is a situation that's set up that if the governor does leave that special election on April 28th, that is a presidential primary day, and likely will only be the Democrats that are turning out to vote in that presidential primary. So there is a political reason also why that special election should be held other than on presidential primary day. Regarding the number of Senate Republicans that are retiring from the state Senate, though, and you mentioned Senator Robach, there are others. I think they're seeing a lot of the handwriting on the wall. Frankly, these are senators that have been around for, in some cases, decades that just have lost their majority. They're now in the minority, and it's been a very discouraging time for them. There's an opportunity for those of us who see a future in our state for a pro-life movement to get candidates that support our values and our views to really get engaged and run for office here in our state.
Yeah, 2019 winding down, guys. We're quickly approaching the end of the year. It has been a challenging year, and that is putting it mildly. Looking ahead to 2020, Michael, what are you going to be looking at? Hot button issues that we need to be paying attention to, if you can think of a couple off the top of your head.
I think right off the bat here in Pennsylvania is the issue of the sanctity of life. We know we have this pro-abortion governor. The key is whether or not the legislature will maintain its pro-life majority, which it currently has. 2020 elections are going to be important on that. And then I think looking to the federal level, the Fairness Act, which has been introduced there, and the Equality Act, both of which would threaten religious liberty. Those are so-called anti-discrimination laws dealing with LGBT issues, but they have tremendously negative impacts on things like personal privacy in school locker rooms, et cetera, and religious liberty for Christian schools, ministries, and churches to be able to operate according to the doctrines of their faith.
And New York, Jason, it was like 2 steps forward, 10 steps back this year. It was a tough year. I mean, let's put it bluntly. What are you looking at in 2020?
Well, I have to say, I think when it comes to legislation New York will be watching, we're just going to call them legion, because they are many. Assisted suicide is probably going to be advancing rapidly in our state. We're going to be facing that. And those parental rights issues, particularly that HPV vaccine mandate, are probably going to be a key issue in 2020.
All right. That would be remiss not to mention the Battle of New York versus Pennsylvania. Playoff implications big time in primetime Sunday night. Bills, Steelers. I know, Michael, you're not a Steelers fan, but you are in Pennsylvania. Your thoughts on that game?
Well, the Steelers are starting what would be described as their fourth-string quarterback. So if the Steelers lose, I think there'll be a lot of folks who say, well, we didn't have the best of our quarterback, so, you know, what can we say?
Tomlin's done a great job with them with the hand he's been dealt. And the Bills, I'm telling you, Jason, there's still a lot of people who can't believe that the Bills are for real. Unbelievable. What do you think, sir, about this big matchup Sunday?
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. You know, if we win it, we're in. And it'll be nice to be back in the playoffs, not because of what someone else has done, but because of what we were able to accomplish.
All right. Should be rocking at Heinz Field, that's for sure. So many issues, so little time. You both have wonderful websites. If folks want to learn more about your organization, Michael, where can they check you out?
PAFamily.org.
And in New York State, Jason?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Great job as always. It's called Capital Connection. Comes your way every Friday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Low pressure that'll be moving up the eastern seaboard will bring our area rain over the next 24 hours. The flip to snow will follow. And there is the potential of some heavy, wet snow accumulations later tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. Here's the call for this afternoon. Cloudy, rain mixed with some sleet will arrive in Pennsylvania. High temps in the lower 40s. Rain will continue for most tonight and tomorrow will be rather raw. Temperatures mid-30s to mid-40s. Rain turns to wet snow tomorrow afternoon in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. And there is the potential for some heavy wet snow accumulations late tomorrow and tomorrow night, again over western New York, particularly the higher spots. Then on Sunday, it's blustery with flurries, a bit of lake snow, and high temperatures in the 30s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Have yourself a great weekend. Finally, this Friday, when the clock strikes midnight, the ball drops and Auld Lang Syne echoes through Times Square on New Year's night. Revelers will be greeted with 25,000 balloons. Balloons that were made in a small town in central New York. Once again at noon, Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, Danny McGowan, the owner of Balloon Affairs in the Syracuse suburb of Baldwinsville, says his balloons will be seen by people all over the world. He provides balloons for some of the world's biggest events, including the Republican and Democrat conventions and New York City's New Year's Eve party. About a billion people watch the ball drop in Times Square. It takes McGowan several months to prepare for that one moment and a crew of about 30 people to inflate and tie the balloons. Oh, and by the way, they do it by hand. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. That is the world we live in this Friday. As always, thanks for coming along and have yourself a fantastic weekend. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.